And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick. And tonight, well, we're going to do something a little bit different. This is a wine from Israel. As far as I know, I've never tried a wine from Israel before. I'm going to try it tonight. And it should be interesting. I've heard some good things about it. We'll give it a try. As you know, I like to try wines from all across the world. I've tried wines from many different countries. I have not tried one from Israel yet. I'm going to do it tonight. Here we go. All right. Also, I have on the agenda, I'm going to pair it with some foods. And boy, do I have a lovely dish prepared by my lovely wife, G, for tonight. The special garnish on this. I'm going to show this to you in just a little bit. Also, we're going to toast some national days. Apparently, there are a lot of national days to toast. And, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about International Podcast Day. That's one of the days we're going to toast. And, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about Hurricane Ian, because that affected many of us, a lot of our friends down in Florida. And it's still affecting them, and it will be affecting them for a long time to come. It's affected us here in North Carolina as well. Not nearly as much, of course. Also, I have a backstage look of the Drink with Rick studio right here on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. So if you're kind of wondering what the set looks like from the other side, I'm going to give you a little bit of a sneak peek. Of course, we're going to review the wine. So that's what we've got going on tonight. Look, if you're just starting to watch tonight for the very first time, or you've been watching for as long as we've been doing this, and you've been watching for the last 175 episodes, this is the episode 176, episode of the Saturday Night Wine Stream. This is a stream of consciousness kind of show, right? Out of my head, and out of your heads, too. I do have my show notes, and they're right here. I've got them all set, ready to go. Did my show prep tonight, for the most part, although we are starting late, and I'll explain why later, and it wasn't anything that I did, it was something else. But look, I've got my show notes, they're right here, we're going to follow them. Sometimes I don't follow them that much at all, because the show isn't about me. I do this to entertain you, but the show isn't really about me. The show is somewhat about the wine, but this show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night, kicking back with our favorite libations, our favorite snacks, whatever they are, just sitting back and having a good time together. Now, we don't talk about politics or religion on the show. We don't talk about things that tear people apart. We talk about things that bring people together, and that's what the wine is about. It's the catalyst that brings people together, gets us all talking, finds some commonality in things, and maybe bring some sense of, I don't know, some decency, some sense of normalcy back to the world. You know? Now, if you're joining me tonight and you want to get involved in the chats and chat with me live, you can pretty much talk to me about anything other than the two things I mentioned. But you can talk to me about anything. You can watch live. Let me show you where you can watch live. You can watch live on our Facebook page. The Facebook page is Drink with Rick. YouTube channel is Drink with Rick. You can just type in Drink with Rick and you can find it. I just did it a few moments ago while we were running the pre-show countdown. And I just had a few seconds left to do it too. But I got there pretty quick. So we are live on YouTube. We are live on Twitch. Twitch is Drink with Rick 1. It's Drink with, it's twitch.tv/DrinkWithRick1, all one word. Drink with Rick and the number 1, not spelled out. Twitter is at Drink with Rick. That's spelled out. And Odyssey, on Odyssey, we're at Drink with Rick. It's at Drink with Rick 7:7, I believe is what it is. And of course, you can check the URL for tonight's episode. You can watch live and get into the chats and chat with me and tell me how you're doing. I would much appreciate hearing from you. Of course, if you can't watch now, if you can't watch later, you can listen anytime on demand The podcast goes out at 10 p.m. Eastern on Monday nights. Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. And I make a point to make sure it happens right on time at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Amazon Music, PodcastIndex.org. And a little shout out to the Podfather, Adam Curry, there for that. Thank you. And by email, if you click on the little blue button, if you go to the subscribe page at drinkwithrick.com, click on the little blue button that says by email, put your email address in that box, and you will get the latest episode of Drink with Rick as soon as it drops, and no salesman will call. It's just to get the show. And of course, you can unsubscribe at any time, but please don't. You'll miss the show. You don't want to miss all the fun, right? Such as it is. All right. So here we are. I'm going to, we're going to show off the wine here, and then we're going to open it up. Before I do that, let me get into the chats and see who's in the chats yet. Now, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Facebook tonight. That was why we were late. Facebook has been quite problematic over the last, especially the last couple of months, and even more so tonight, apparently. I just found this out last minute as I was getting everything prepped for the show, and I found out the last minute while I was beginning to start the stream, just before I started the stream. That's why we were late tonight, because I couldn't get the embed to work. Usually what I do is I embed the stream from Facebook onto the Drink with Rick website, drinkwithrick.com. Could not get it to happen. And then I found out why I could not get it to happen. I couldn't get it to happen because Facebook won't allow me to get it to happen tonight. So this is not, I'll explain a little bit more as I imbibe the wine. I'm getting really frustrated with Facebook these days. X86BSD is in the chat on Twitch, and XBSD says, X86 says, wine from Israel. Interesting choice. I'm looking forward to seeing what you think of it. I'm looking forward to it, too. And by the way, I'm glad you're here. X86 says you should try broadcasting on Rumble as well. I have looked at Rumble. I'll give you my thoughts on that. You actually bring up a good point there. I have looked at Rumble. I have not looked at streaming. I mean, I've not gone into streaming on there yet, and for various reasons. I'll explain why in a little bit. But if you can remind me, let's get in. We can discuss that. Not a problem. And what else do we have going on? We are live on Twitch. We are live on Odyssey. We are live on YouTube, everywhere, pretty much everywhere. But I did, at the last minute, I had to embed the stream. Instead of Facebook, I had to switch that and embed the stream. I tried to do it from Odyssey, but it didn't work correctly. It didn't show up. I could get the thing in there, but I couldn't get it to show up. I'll have to work on it, I guess. YouTube, it went in right away, and it is live. Let me see. Yeah, it is. We are live on. We're live on YouTube. I was just playing it on the website at drinkwithrick.com. So we are live there. So that's good. Now I don't have a chat going. In fact, I don't think I do. Nope, I don't have a live chat going on the website. But if you click on the post for this episode of Drink with Rick on Saturday Night Wine Stream, you'll get a little comment page. Type in your comment down there, and I will respond in kind. It won't be right away. I won't see it right away, but I will respond, and I'll read the comments on the show and at a later episode. But, X86, we can talk about Rumble as well. That's a decent topic to talk about. And I'm glad that those of you who can watch me on Facebook can watch me on Facebook, provided you can. I'll explain that a little bit more in a little bit, I guess. Anyway, I'm digressing. All right, let me show you this wine. This is what we've got. This is called Barkin. Barkin Vineyards Classic. This is a Pinot Noir. Yes, the 2020 Pinot Noir from Upper Galilee. It's 2020. Here's the back. I'm going to read the back of the wine for you. It might be a little bit hard for you to see it in that image there. There's a lot of reflection there. Let me see if I can read it. It says, Barkin Vineyards Classic Pinot Noir. Barkin Pinot Noir has been produced in a similar fashion to the red wines of Burgundy. To produce this extraordinary wine required an exact balance of warm days and cool nights. We have found this balance in our vineyard. The wine is marked by soft yet palpable tannins, a fresh, almost strawberry aroma with hints of black cherries and mint. Barkin Pinot Noir's medium body and crisp finish goes well with grilled salmon or veal and is best served slightly chilled. Oh, I didn't read that part. Did not chill this. And there is 11.5% alcohol by volume, ABV in the 750-milliliter bottle. It is this www.barkan-winery.co-il is the website. And apparently, it's kosher for Passover. So, if you are Jewish, and that's a wine to consider for Passover. I myself am not Jewish, but I'm trying this for the first time just to see what it's like. We'll give it a try. So, let's go ahead and open this wine, unless there are any other comments going on in here. And my good friend Ed, I hope he shows up later on, because I know that he is pretty much right on Facebook, and I hope he can watch the show on Facebook. I know he likes to come and watch every week, and I hope this is not going to be an issue for him. This Facebook thing is not going to be an issue for him tonight, or anyone else, by the way. On Facebook, let me know if you're on Facebook and or if you're on any other venues and you can't see me or can't watch me on Facebook. Let me know, please. Let me know, because I need to know this. It's kind of a concerning issue for me. All right, so let me go ahead and open this wine. Get my foil cutter here. Let's go to camera. Let's go close up here. There we go. I like this foil here on the top of the bottle. Okay, that is done. Foil is off. Now I need to get my mechanical corkscrew. There we go. And hopefully this should not be an issue. Opening it up. I love this corkscrew. A gift from my wife and kids. Wow, that's a healthy pop, isn't it? I'll remove the cork later as I decorked the wine. I know, it's not uncorked. We don't say uncorked on the show. We say decorked, because that's what I like to say. And okay, got the aerator in there. I did not chill this wine, so I'll have to do it unchilled. And to hold the grape nectar, I have my genuine Galway crystal glass. Genuine crystal glass from Ireland, given to me by my employers at buy2wayradios.com. All right, we're going to pour a little bit of wine in this glass. Set this aside. Give it a good swirl. Yeah, I'm swirling it right against the table so everybody can hear it. A little ASMR for a Saturday night. There's going to be a lot more ASMR for the Saturday night coming, as I slurp and chew and all that other fun stuff. All right, the wine is set off to the side. We're going to let it open up a little bit and breathe. And while it's breathing, while we're getting some air into this wine in the glass, let's learn a little bit more about it. So, I looked around for some information on this Barkin Classic wine. I did find some information on it. Not a whole lot, but I did find some. And it is indeed from Israel. There's a whole Wikipedia page on Barkin wine cellars. And because it's the free encyclopedia, and I'm giving them fair... This is fair use here. I'm giving Wikipedia a plug on this one. I'm giving attribution, proper attribution. So I'm going to read a little bit of this and paraphrase a little bit from the Bark and Wine Cellars listing on Wikipedia. And location is in Hulda, Israel. It's the Samson Wine Region. And the parent company is Tempo Beer Industries. And it has international distribution. I'll explain what's going on with that in just a moment. Bark and Wine Cellars is the largest Israeli winery, producing 12 to 14 million bottles a year. That was the thing I wanted to get to. Right away, it comes up. 12 to 14 million bottles a year, and it is in international distribution, apparently. That's a lot of wine. 12 to 14 million bottles. The main building of the winery is located at Kibbutz Hulda, east of Tel Aviv. Barkin receives grapes from vineyards in the Golan Heights, Upper Galilee, Lower Galilee, Mount Tabor region, the Jerusalem Mountains, and Mitzpirema. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, correctly. Mitzpirema, Raman. I'm not sure. If any of my Jewish friends are in the chat, maybe they can correct me on that, as I'm sure they will. Someone will correct me on it. So that is the basics on what I have here. So anyway, that's what I have on the Barkin Wine Cellars. And I checked around on Vivino. Vivino had it listed, gave it a 3.7 star rating out of 25 ratings. I think across all the vintages, I think. And they have it listed for $12.99 a bottle. I also checked on Wine Searcher. Wine Searcher has the 2020 Bark and Vineyards Classic Pinot Noir for about $13 a bottle, I guess, on average. You can find it in Union Square Wine and Spirits in New York for $11.99 a bottle. Melissima USA in New York. Maybe that's Melissima. Melissima? I don't know. $12.99 a bottle. Westchester Wine Warehouse in New York is $12.99 a bottle. Kosherwine.com in D.C. is $13.49 a bottle. That's interesting. $13.49, kind of like a nine. You'd think it would be like a .99 or something. That's 49 cents. Now, I'll tell you what I paid for this bottle of wine, because I purchased mine at Total Wine, or as I affectionately call it, Total Wino. I don't mean that in a disparaging way, okay? I just say it in an affectionate way, right? Okay. I like Total Wine. All right, and I paid for this Barkin Pinot Noir Classic 750 milliliter bottle. I paid $12.99. There you go. Right there, direct from the receipt. All right. So, having said that, now it's saying that this, according to this thing, we're looking at the back again. According to this, it's, let's see. Soft tannins, strawberry aroma with hints of black cherries and mint. And medium body. Well, we're going to find out right now. We're going to find out what it is. It does look medium bodied. It does. It's not. Let's see how it tastes. Let me check the chats one more time just to make sure. I'm a little really concerned about Facebook here. All right, well, we're going to keep it on Twitch for now, I guess, because I don't even know what's going on with Facebook. Anyway, let's give it a whiff. Let me check that one more time. Oh, yeah. Facebook. I am concerned about Facebook. Sorry, folks. All right, let's give it a whiff. Strawberry in the nose. And a little bit of plum. Let's see what else we got here. Yeah, a lot of strawberry. And a slight hint of plum to it, but mostly strawberry. Now, I have heard some people saying that there's some cherry and some other red fruits in here, but I'm not tasting really cherry. I am tasting strawberry. And I will say that it is, soft tannins. There's some tannin in the wine, but it's not really that tannic. I don't know. I'm looking at some of these reviews here on, they're saying that people are tasting all kinds of things in here. They really are. But I'm tasting mostly strawberry. Strawberry, hint of plum. And it is very soft. The tannins are there, soft tannins. Very, very smooth. Very smooth going down. And I want to say that it's medium to light bodied. It seems medium bodied in the glass, but it tastes really, really light in the mouth. Goes down easy. Does not have a lot of a strong. It doesn't have a really strong finish to it. It's a fairly light finish, but it's a very, very smooth one. I like it. It's pretty good. And I'm not really, maybe a little smoke, maybe just a hint of smoke in there, just a little bit. Not real smoky, just a light smoke taste to it. Let me go back to this thing for a second. What did it say here? It said, soft tannins. Okay, we got that. Strawberry aroma, hints of black cherries and mint. Okay, I'm not getting, maybe I should have chilled this or something. I'm not getting any black cherry in this. Mint, I don't know. Yeah, actually, maybe. Yeah, there's a little bit of mint on the very end. It's just a little bit of mint. But there is a slight smokiness to it. Very slight. Wow, this is a very, very easy drinking wine. Very easy drinking wine. I would say it's an easy drinking wine for Passover or any kind of thing. We're going to have to pair it with some food and see what we have here. Let's check and see what we have here going on in the chat. Yeah, I'm not getting anything from Facebook right now. This is all right. Let me check the other chats here. Okay. We're good. We're up everywhere else. That's what I know, is we're up everywhere else. I don't want to harp, especially for those watching or listening to the podcast later, I don't want to harp too much on the fact that of what's going on Facebook, except that it's bothering me a lot, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit and why, just a little bit. So, and this has been something that's been going on for a while. But I tell you what, let's not harp on that too much at the moment. Let me show you what we have to pair it with tonight, because this is really cool. What we have, I'm going to put up camera three. Camera three, we have, yeah, I know, it looks like the usual suspects, okay? We have some steak here. This is a porterhouse, leftovers, of course. No, we don't have steak every day, okay? We just had some tonight. We have the unexpected cheddar with parm, that's over there, and then we have the Trader Joe's double cream Gouda over here. And what's this? What is this? Okay, well, I'll show you what it is. My wife made something special. She was down there baking cookies, as she often does, or baking something really nice just before the wine stream. I'm going to show you what I've got here. This, look at that. Is that amazing or what? She brought it up, and I saw this thing, and I was like, wow, that's just really cool. She baked gluten-free chocolate chip cookies, and she put a cookie in, and she made like a cookie boat. Now, this is made of, gee, if you're in the chat, if you can explain exactly what this is. This is I'm not sure what that is. It's a fruit of some sort. She made a boat out of the fruit rind, I guess. And then she has a little hint of mint there. But that is, and then of course she's got, for the sale, she's got, drink with Rick, Rick card for the sale. That is so cool. That is really, really cool. It's an awesome, I think she's pretty much outdone herself this time on the presentation, don't you think? I think she deserves a round of applause for that. It was an amazing presentation. Thank you, Chi. Thank you very, very much. It's much appreciated. And wow, I like that. Very cool. And BananaDude18 is in the chat on Twitch. And BananaDude18, great to see you. Says hello and right back at you, BananaDude. So that's so cool. It is. I mean, it's she does a really great presentation with the food every Saturday night. And I have some pictures from sometimes in the past that she's done some really fantastic presentations. But that one's just I'm so impressed with that. That is really, really cool. And if she gets in the chat here later, usually she's in the lurking around in the chat. But if you're watching now, she let me know what that particular to be honest, I really don't know what she made that boat out of. I saw her cutting it up earlier, and it was some kind of a fruit. And it looked like a really oversized blood orange, but it's not. It's not. It's something with a really, really thick rind, and that's what she used to cut out and make the boat out of, which is pretty neat. Okay, so let's see. Where are we? Oh, yes, the wine. Let's go ahead and go to camera 3 and let's pair it with the food. So I have, because this food's getting cold, oh, the steak is good. Even though it's cold, it's still really good. Now, I'm not sure what this wine is supposed to pair with. Should go good with beef. And it does. Really good. Now, my wife grilled that porterhouse on the grill tonight. I'm going to have another piece of it. Let's go back to camera 3. This is actually a really good steak. I'm going to try this again. And, well, she grilled this to perfection. She marinated it really, really nicely. Wow. Now, it does bring, it really brings out the smokiness in the meat from the grill, the grilled taste, the smoke in the wine, the slight smokiness in the wine really matches well with this beef. And the strawberry taste in the wine adds an interesting flavor to the mix. That's pretty good. I think that's a pretty good pairing so far. Let's see what else we got. Oh, you know, I have to clear the palate. Let me clear the palate. Let's go back to camera 3 and let's try it with the cheeses. I'm going to try it first, if I can get it back on the toothpick here. All right, I'm going to try it with the Parmesan. This is the unexpected cheddar with Parm. It's a cheddar cheese with Parmesan in it, mixed in. It has a bit of a crunchiness to it, and that's the Parmesan. Really good cheese, by the way. Wow, I like this too. Now, this is a fairly light wine. Once again, they say medium-bodied. It looks medium-bodied in the glass, but it is light-bodied in the mouth. I mean, it's very, it's not heavy in the mouth. It's not bold. It's not bold. It's super light. Really easy drinking wine. So, yeah, I like it so far. I'll be honest, I wasn't sure what to expect from this wine, and I wasn't sure if I was going to like it at all. And it's a Pinot Noir, of course, and, you know, going back, it says Pinot Noir on it. And I love good Pinot Noirs, but Pinot Noirs even can kind of range, have a little bit of a range in the boldness and the tannins and things like that. This one is really nice, and I think one of the reasons for that, I'm pretty sure one of the reasons for that, is the fact that it's only 11.5% alcohol by volume in this bottle, which I think is actually nice. I don't like too much alcohol where the alcohol overpowers the taste of the wine. This doesn't do this. It seems like a really, really nice balance between the alcohol and the and overall the wine, the other flavors of the wine, and I like that. I like that a lot. Let me clear the palate. And let's try it with the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda, which is on camera 3. Camera 3, here we go. We're going to try it with the Double Cream Gouda. And of course, we've never had a miss with this. And the wine, Gouda taste. This Gouda is good. Pretty decent. I think I like the pairing with the unexpected cheddar with Parm a little bit better, but it's still very good. And the creaminess of the Gouda, because it's the Double Cream Gouda, the creaminess makes this light wine, the smoothness of this wine going down, it adds a little more creaminess to it. To both. It's a little creamier going down. I like this wine. And you know what? I could probably drink this whole bottle. I mean, it's the alcohol content in this is very low compared to most of the other wines that we've had. So I'm not afraid to drink this. And I'll tell you what, I'm not afraid to serve it to others who don't like a lot of alcohol in their wine either. And so far, I'm liking this wine. It's pretty good. All right. So that does it for the... Yeah, I know. Going back to this, there is one item left, which is the cookie in the boat, or the cookie boat, as I'm calling it now. But we're going to get to that in a little bit later because I'm going to save that for dessert, and we'll try it with a cookie in the boat in a little bit. In the meantime, let's get back to the chats and see how things are going in the chats tonight. X86 says, light red, easy drinking, sounds my speed. Yeah, I think you'd like this. I think you'd like this wine. I'm surprised. I really didn't expect too much from it, but I think that it's pretty decent. I like it. I like it a lot, actually, and I would probably buy another bottle of it. It's $12.99. It said the price isn't bad either. Especially these days with all of the inflationary stuff going on here, and the wine's getting more expensive, everything's getting more expensive. I think this is actually a decent price for this wine, for this Pinot. And I really like a good Pinot. This seems so far to be a really good Pinot. I like it. Okay, let's see what else we've got going on. Okay, quiet, I don't see quiet everywhere else. All right, good. So you know what it's time for, right? Yeah, let's see. What time is it? It's time for the National Days. I just checked. Time for the National Days. Let's toast some National Days because, wow, we have some National Days to toast. There's a lot of them. Yeah, there are a lot of them to toast. We're going to kind of go through this a little bit quick because we're starting late and I don't want to go too late on the show. All right, October 1st. Today is October 1st. Now, I do have something to toast for the 29th and 30th, but I'm saving that for just a little bit later. Let's go ahead and hit the wave. There we go. Let's do the toasting. That wave, by the way, courtesy of CM Cinder, my daughter. She does commissions for animations and graphics and art, and she can do some for you. You go to CM Cinder, or excuse me, it's tiasavoya.art, tiasavoya.com. CM Cinder is her Twitch channel. Do they call them handles anymore? I don't think they do. That's an old CB reference. Anyway, October 1st, National Green City Day. Now, National Green City Day, let me explain this just briefly. National Green City Day is where they're talking about how cities are kind of growing green and promoting greenery stuff. Now, we're talking about, you know, nice parks and planting more trees and flowers and plants and, you know, sprucing things up, making things green. And also the green part where they're, you know, a little bit more environmentally friendly ways to do things, which I'm for keeping things natural if possible. And that's great. So National Green City Day, I'll drink to that. It's also National Fire Pup Day. I believe, I didn't check this yet, but I believe this is referring to the fire dogs for the, I think so, Fire Pup Day. I think that's related to the traditional fire station dog, you know, that are on the fire engines. I think so. The national, and I like pups. Hey, I like dogs. Here's a National Fire Pup Day. It's also National Black Dog Day. Black dogs everywhere. Okay. I like dogs. Dogs are so cool. National Black Dog Day. I'll drink to that. Okay. By the way, these national days are courtesy of nationaldaycalendar.com. Nationaldaycalendar.com is Marlo Anderson's site. He's the CEO of nationaldaycalendar.com. And this is where most everyone out there pulls their information. It's only 11.5% alcohol by volume, folks. I haven't even started, okay? I'm just naturally mixing my merds up. It's the website where everybody goes to get their national days. And that's where I go as well. So, continuing on with the national days for October 1st, 2022. It is National Hair Day. Yes, National Hair Day. Do they have a National Bald People's Day or something? I haven't checked. I'm going to have to look. I'm going to have to talk to Marlo about this. If we don't have one, we need one. National Baldy Day or something, you know? Well, today is National Hair Day. I'll drink to that. Any other baldies out there like me? National Hair Day. Okay, it's National Pumpkin Spice Day. This is the time of the year when all the pumpkin spice thing come out. Everything made of pumpkin. You know, I was at Trader Joe's a couple of weeks ago, and I was hunting around for some new wines to try and for some other things in the freezer. I was looking for some things in the freezer before I got to the wine section. No, I don't look for wines in the freezer. But I was looking for some other foods in the freezer. And as I passed by the one freezer they had, there was a lady there pulling some things out of there. And she turns to me and says, "You know, you got to try this." And it was like a cinnamon bun spread. And I'm like, "Oh, wow. Yeah, I should not try that." I'm still reading this book down here I don't even want to get in there, but I'm still reading this book that I've been reading for the last 3 months that I haven't finished because it's about dieting. And I've been putting off finishing the book because I told myself as soon as I finish this book, I was going to start this diet. And I've been putting off finishing the book. Anyway, so the lady hands, she picks up this thing of cinnamon bun spread. And she's saying, you've got to try this. And I said, no, yes, I've got to try that. So after she left, and now she's saying, look at all this pumpkin stuff too. You got to try all this pumpkin stuff. And she's pointing in the freezer, and the whole freezer was filled with everything pumpkin related. They had pumpkin ice cream. They had other little pumpkin mini ice cream cones, and they had pumpkin, whatever. They had all kinds of pumpkin desserts in there. And I'm, and of course I waited until the lady walked away before I started picking through it. Because I was saying, no, I don't need that. And then I said, well, you know, I need that. Yeah, so I did buy a jar of that pumpkin spread. And then she opened it up a couple of days later. And she showed it to me. She says, wow, this pumpkin spread is great. You got to try this. And so I tried that. And I said, this is pretty good. I should not be eating this. And then, of course, I went back to Trader Joe's the next week and got another jar. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes, National Pumpkin Spice Day. See how this works? See how the stream of consciousness thing works on this show? Exactly. All right, so National Pumpkin Spice Day. You know what's really interesting about about pumpkin stuff? All right, I manage the coffee. I do the coffee buying for the office at Buy Two Way Radios. And traditionally, every year, we would, when I'm stocking coffee, sometimes I'd stock flavored coffees for a seasonal thing. And it's something I like to do. I like to do the coffee stuff there. Anyway, so I traditionally buy, when the season starts, I buy some pumpkin spice coffee or some pumpkin flavored coffee. And it's great. The first week or so, everybody's going, oh, cool, pumpkin spice coffee, you know, pumpkin flavored coffee. So they'll drink through that. So I'm thinking, oh, great, everybody loves this pumpkin coffee. So I'll buy more. So I go off and I buy a whole bunch more, bring it in, and then it sits there and nobody drinks it. Nobody drinks it. And then, I wind up having to drink it myself or toss it or whatever, you know, in a few months' time because everybody's sick of pumpkin spice flavored coffee. And that's the thing. It's like pumpkin's great. All this pumpkin stuff is great for about a week or two. And then you're sick of it. You're totally sick of it. Anything pumpkin. And it's like, you don't want to have anything to do with pumpkin for another year. The funny thing is that, at least for me, when I go and we buy all this pumpkin-flavored stuff and then we get really tired of it and we want to throw in half of it out, and we're saying, no, we're not buying any more of this pumpkin stuff. We're just sick of the pumpkin. And then when the next year rolls around, what happens? The cycle starts again. It's like, wow, yeah, pumpkin. That sounds great. I love pumpkin. And we'll buy some more of it, and the cycle continues. Yeah, isn't that how it works? Is that how it works? Here's a national homemade, this is national, I'm mixing up my national days here. Here's the National Pumpkin Spice Day. I'll drink to that. Yes, they have pumpkin beers. They do. X86 says, try chai spice instead of pumpkin, chai coffee, chai cheesecake. All right, I like chai actually. I like chai, and I have bought some chai tea on numerous occasions, and I wind up being the only person that drinks it at the office. But I should probably get another because I know there's at least one of my other coworkers there. He likes tea, he likes green teas and stuff. So maybe I should get some chai tea too. But chai tea I like to drink from time to time, and it's really, really good. It's kind of, it's kind of spicy, and chai spice or whatever. It depends on the tea that you get. I have my own spiced chi, but we're not going there. Chai spice, yeah. I like chai teas. Chai coffee. I don't think I've ever tried chai coffee, x86, but I think on your recommendation, I think I'm going to give that a try. And chai cheesecake. There really is such a thing. I've never heard of a chai cheesecake. Interesting. All right, let me make a note of that. Chai coffee. Chai coffee, I think I've seen. Chai cheesecake, I've never heard of. Cheesecake, huh? Okay, I'm writing that down. I'll make a note of that. Thanks for the recommendation, x86. Appreciate that. And, Ed is in the chat. Tim is in the chat. My good friend Tim Bartlett and Ed are both in the chat. Tim says, hi, Rick, and hi right back at you. Tim, it's great to see you here. I'm really glad you're here. And Ed is in the chat. He says, pumpkins? I've never heard of those. Oh, I've heard of those. Pumpkins, I've heard of those. And Ed just, I can't hear that. Here we go. Ed just came into the chat. Well, I'm glad you're here, Ed. I'm glad you're here also, Tim. Ed and Tim are both good old friends of mine. And, of course, Ed, I worked with Ed at back in my Disney days at Walt Disney World. And we were roommates for a time. And he's been a good friend for a long, long time. Tim, my good friend Tim Bartlett, he is also, I worked with him at Channel 35. And we're all old friends. And his daughters are very, very talented and amazing people. And we have one of them that's an influencer on Instagram. One of his daughters can I pull it up? I don't know if I can pull it up at the moment. I don't have it right here. She converted a bus into a clothing store. I can't pull it up at the moment. I'm going to have to keep some of these things right off hand so that whenever Tim gets in the chat here, I can give him a shout out and give his daughters a shout out. But really, really talented. They converted this bus over. And I think, Tim, where were you? It was just the other night. I think you guys were set up somewhere at night and she was selling. It was Kenya Couture. But I can't pull it up right now for some reason on my... I'm having some trouble with my browser, folks. I got too many tabs open at the moment on my browser. But yeah, the name of it is Kenya Couture. Tim, you can feel free to put in a link to it in the chat for anyone else who's watching now or later in the chat. And actually, I'll pass along to Twitch and anywhere else. But Kenya Couture is the name of the store, and it is a renovated bus. She took a school bus and renovated it into a shop. And pretty amazing. Tim and his daughter did all the work on it. In fact, he did a whole series of videos where he took everyone through the step-by-step process of how it came to be. And it's pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool videos. And a lot of people are doing this now. You know that, Tim? Well, he knows. a lot of people are starting to do this where they're converting school buses, in particular school buses, into various shops and stores and living quarters and cross-country campers and things like that. I think one reason that it's being done, I looked at a few videos on that, and it kind of piqued my interest for a while because I was thinking maybe I should do that, because we thought about doing, my son Tommy and I thought about doing one up as a podcast studio, traveling around for a podcast and YouTube studio. We thought about it, and life got in the way on that one. And it's something that we might still do here in the future. We just had a lot of other things going on, but more and more people are doing this, and I think one reason is because when you get a lot of these old school buses that are decommissioned, and they're still perfectly usable, drivable, whatever, you know, you can fix them up, and it's pretty cool because the bus is, you don't have to do that much to rip things out of the bus to get it started. You can, you know, they got the seats and stuff take out, and you've got this empty shell of a vehicle that you can do whatever you want with. It's very malleable, I should say. Tim says the schoolie movement. Yeah, and I'm looking into that still, actually. Tommy and I have been kind of looking over that. Now, I don't know if a school bus can be a lot to drive, but I've never driven one. I know plenty of people have, but it can be a lot. It's a pretty large vehicle, but you can do so much with it. It's amazing what you can do with those school buses, renovating them. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes, we were doing the National Days, right? Getting back to the National Day calendar. And Marlo, if you're watching now or later, Marlo Anderson, CEO of National Day Calendar, I think we need a National Bald Day. If we don't have one, maybe we do have one. I'll have to go look. Anyway, here's the National Pumpkin Spice Day. I'll drink to that. See how I got off that on that train of consciousness, you know, went on another track and then got right back on it. Doesn't always work that way. October 2nd is coming up, but before we do, October 1st. I missed one. National Homemade Cookies Day. And that's why I was waiting until I tried this. National Homemade Cookies Day. And as I just showed you, my lovely wife, she made this tonight. It's pretty cool. The cookie in a boat. I don't know what she made. Once again, she made this. Here, let me get back to the camera through. You can see it live. Okay, she made this. And this is the top shot. And she made this with a chocolate chip. This is a gluten-free chocolate chip cookie. And the boat is made of a rind of, I'm not sure what the rind is. She has a little mint in there. And then she finished it off with a sail with a Drink with Rick card. The back of the sail is another piece of this rind. All right, we're going to try a little bit of this cookie. Why not? I've been waiting for a while to try. I know I broke the boat. I'm going to have a little bit of this cookie to try with the wine tonight. Let's try it. Pull it up on camera, too. Mmm. Got chocolate on my hands. Mmm. It's good, though. Mmm. Oh, I know. I'm looking at the wrong camera. Again. Wow, okay, good. I like it. And it's not, because there's only 11.5% alcohol by volume in this wine, the alcohol does not overpower the chocolate chips in this cookie. This is good. Very nice mix. I like it. Yeah, I could drink this wine all night. Much to the chagrin of my wife. All right, so let's get back to the national days. Okay, there is another national day I need to toast before I go any further. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. I'm not sure if I've got, yes. All right. International Podcast Day. September 29th, 30th is International Podcast Day. Being a longtime podcaster myself, as is my son, Tommy Antio, I've been podcasting for over 16 years. He's been podcasting for over 12. And I've produced over, in my 16 years of podcasting, I produced about 12 different podcasts. And I don't know how many episodes of each one. I've lost count, to be honest. lots of episodes of each one, pretty much. But I have done a lot of podcasting in my day. So here is to International Podcast Day. I'll drink to that. Once again, International Podcast Day. And for those of you who are podcasters on Twitch, you can feel free to clip that. That's fine. That's good. All right. So that's International Podcast Day. Let's go back to the other national days here. And let's check the chats here before we go too much farther into the weeds. I am going to try that chai. I'm going to look for chai cheesecake. Honestly, 11.5% alcohol by volume, it's not affecting me yet. That's just how I naturally misspeak. That's how I naturally do it. Okay, my lovely wife, Chi, is in the chat on YouTube, and she says it's pomelo fruit. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Pomelo fruit. This lovely thing that is now decimated, this the boat part, it's pomelo fruit. That's what that is. And, I haven't tried the pomelo fruit but I have decimated the rind, as you can see. And the cookie was quite good, by the way. By the way, Chi, I'm going to give you another round of applause for that. It was very, very good. I really appreciate it. All right, let's go back to the national days. We have a few more national days to toast and more wine to drink. All right, today is a national, National Homemade Cookies Day. I'll drink to that again. October 2nd, which is going to be today in another 40 minutes, Eastern Time. I need more wine. Okay, National Smarties Day. Yes, Smarties Day. Yes, those Smarties, you know? National Smarties Day. You like Smarties? You like Smarties? I love Smarties. They're those little candies. I thought we had some downstairs. I was going to bring some up here for the show as a prop, maybe to eat a couple. But we had some downstairs, but it looks like somebody got to them, my daughter probably, and they've all been eaten. So we have no more Smarties in the pantry. There were some. I know there were some a few weeks ago because I saw them, but not anymore. National Smarties Day. Okay, and I'm reading this directly from nationaldaycalendar.com. National Smarties Day on October 2nd celebrates the sweet legacy of an iconic candy and the Smarty Pants people who never stop learning. Smarties have been around since 1949. I had no idea. That's over 70 years of celebrating the sweet candy wafer roll. In honor of National Smarties Day, we invite everyone to take a walk down memory lane and enjoy this nostalgic candy. If you've never tried Smarties, and who hasn't? This is your chance to become a new member of the Smarty Pants Club. Now, if you don't know what Smarties are, okay? Smarties are those little rolls of small pastel-colored candy tablets, you know, they're kind of a sweet and sour kind of thing, a little sweet, a little sour. And now, I'm reading this again from nationaldaycalendar.com. The ingredients, there are only six ingredients in this. There are six different flavors in a Smarties package. The flavors are randomly mixed together for each individual Smarties roll. That sounds a little bit like the Neckos. I love Neckos. Some people hate them. I like them. But the Neckos were kind of set up the same way. The Smarties original flavor lineup was white. The white ones, and I did not know this. I just enjoyed eating them, but I didn't know what was what. The white Smarties were orange cream. That's the orange cream flavor. The yellow Smarties are pineapple. The pink Smarties are cherry. The green are strawberry. The purple are grape. And the orange. So, wow, it's, I didn't know, you know, I just used to eat them and I just say, these are kind of sweet and sour candies, you know, kind of like the sweet tarts and things like that. And which I like sweet tarts, by the way. But I never really thought of them too much as having different flavors. But now that I think about it, you know, because I just used to eat them, I'm like, I didn't care. And and I used to put like two or three on my hand and at a time and eat them sometimes because they're so little tiny things. They're just little tiny. And I'm a pig. What can I say? When it comes to candy, I'm a pig. So there you go. Really? Where was I? Okay. All right, I'm going to read this from nationalencounter.com here. A smart choice. When it comes to candy, Smarties are considered a smart choice. I see what you did there, Marlo. For starters, Smarties are free from the 9 major food allergies. Milk, eggs, fish, crustaceans, shellfish, tree nuts, peanuts, wheat, soy, and sesame. So I'm assuming there's no gluten in them. If they're gluten-free, that sounds like a winner right there. All right, so we've got a couple more of these toast, and then we can go on to other things. All right, so what's left? Okay, oh, National Smarties Day. There we go. I'll drink to that. It's also October 2nd is also National Custodial Workers Recognition Day. That's a tough job, you know that? Being custodian is a tough job, and I think custodians are the unsung heroes of many industries. Here's to National Custodial Workers Recognition Day. I'll drink to that. Also National Fried Scallops Day. I don't know if you like fried scallops. Not my thing. You can drink to it if you want. I think I'll skip that one. National Name Your Car Day. Do you have a name for your car? I know there are some people, especially guys, that name their cars. Some ladies have done that too. I've never named my cars. I've owned a lot of cars, but I've never really named them. There were some that I really liked, but I just never felt that much of an attachment to name a car. But do you have a name for your car? That's a good question. I'm not going to disparage you if you do. It's okay. I don't care. It's fine. It's all good to me. Name your car. I'm not going to make fun of it either. Some people do. And some people do it for various reasons, too. National Name Your Car Day. There you go. I'll drink to that. It's also National Produce Misting Day. Now, when I first read it, I thought it said National Produce Misting Day. National Produce Misting Day. And I thought, what? I'm not sure I even want to know about this. Produce Misting. But I looked it up, and it's actually National Produce Misting Day. And reading this from nationaldaycalendar.com, once again, National Produce Misting Day on October 2nd recognizes the innovation of keeping fruits and vegetables fresh. Mist at fingertips, rest assured that produce remains crisp, plump, hydrated, and nutrient dense. Excuse me. National Produce Misting. You know, you go to the supermarket and they've got the little mist going on over the produce to keep everything fresh. Okay, I'll drink to that. Whatever. I got produce misting. Whatever that means. Okay, October 2nd is National GOE Day, Sunday of the first full weekend, which for this year would be October 2nd, is National GOE Day. Now, what is National GOE Day? I'm reading this from nationaldaycalendar.com because that's what I do best. National GOE Day, growth. GOE stands for Growth, Overcome, and Empower. The Sunday of the first full weekend in October encourages us to support safe spaces for healing and connection for those who have been victimized by abuse and trauma. The day focuses on healing, recovery, and providing resources that support overcoming these overwhelming obstacles in life. That is what National GOE Day is. I will drink to that. And with that, that does it for the National Days. Once again, this is what we're drinking. We're drinking the Barcan Classic Pinot Noir. This is a 2020. This is a wine from Israel, from Galilee. And I think this, so far, I'm really liking this wine. I will give you a final review in just a little bit, but that's what we're drinking tonight. Now, a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Unless you have something better you want to talk about, jump in the chat and tell me what you want to talk about. And let's see, what else we got? Let me check the chats here. I'm glad that we have folks on Facebook because I've been really concerned about Facebook tonight. Just having a tough time with Facebook lately. I was going to talk about that. I don't know if I really should or not, but because I've talked about it already in the past. Let's talk about more interesting things. Let's talk about Hurricane Ian. I want to give a shout out to all of my friends and my family, and because I do have family and friends in Florida that are still reeling from the effects of Hurricane Ian. It's been a tumultuous week for everyone down there in Florida, particularly from the south, from southwest Florida, and up and down the coast, and even Orlando. Orlando got hit pretty hard, and everybody got hit down there and in central Florida. Then it exited. And then went out over the water, became a Category 1 hurricane again. Then turned around and shot up through South Carolina, really whacked South Carolina and North Carolina to a lesser degree. We got hit. It made a beeline for Charlotte. We got there. We got it, and it got there, but by the time it hit us, it was a post-tropical storm. So it wasn't nearly as bad. We had some, in our neighborhood, well, we had a lot of downed trees and stuff. There was a lot of flooding in North Carolina, and we had a lot of downed trees and stuff. And there were people around, South Carolina got, hit with downed trees and power lines and then lost power. We were fortunate here. We didn't lose power where we were, but surrounding our neighborhood, we had, because I tried to go to the bank on Friday, and I thought, well, it's not going to be too bad. I was driving out in the rain. It didn't seem too bad. But then when I got out of our neighborhood, the traffic lights were out, and they closed. They lost power down there at the bank, so I couldn't go into the bank because they closed it because they lost power. And we got some of the effects of it, but nothing near as calamitous as what had happened in Southwest Florida, and that was pretty awful. I was up overnight watching a lot of the live video coming across the news feeds, and I was watching some of it live on Facebook, YouTube, and it was pretty sobering. It was pretty sobering, the level of devastation that just occurred. Last count I heard, we lost 35 people there. I don't know. I don't think that's the final count. I understand there are at least 35 fatalities down there in that area. This was a really, really horrible storm. And it's going to be a while to... It's going to take a while to recover from that. And I kind of want to, at this point, I really do want to not really toast, but more or less acknowledge those who have been suffering, who have suffered through this storm. And I want to say here's to you. we're thinking about you. We care about you down there and all across everyone who's been affected in this storm. And we wish everyone a safe recovery. And for those who have lost loved ones down there, our condolences. Words can't describe how awful this was. And I just want to say, here's to you, and we're with you. I've talked to some of my friends who down there who really didn't get hit as bad, but they said that other people around them got hit pretty bad. Ed is in Florida. Tim, you're still in Florida, I believe, and I don't know how it affected you, if you're okay. I hope you and the family are safe. Ed, I hope you're safe as well. Ed says, Ian knocked out my power for 14 hours, some flooded roads in Orlando. So, I mean, if that was the worst, 14 hours is a long time to go without power these days. You don't really appreciate the fact that you walk in the room, turn on the light, and have it just go on, or you go down to the kitchen and cook something or whatever. You don't really appreciate the fact that we have electricity, that we have this power right at our fingertips until you don't even think about it. The same thing with the water coming in, you know. You don't really think about it until it stops and you don't have it. And all of a sudden you just realize just how much we rely on all of this, how we rely on the water, having good, clean, fresh water and power, energy, internet too. It's funny that it's when the internet goes out in our house, as it did a few weeks ago, with somebody inadvertently cut our fiber line down the street. They were digging for something and cut the line for half the neighborhood here. And we lost it for a day or two until they replaced it. And my wife works from home. I work from home part of the time. And that really hurts. You know, you lose the internet and it hurts. And it's just amazing how in such a short period of time, how we've come to rely on all of these things, these utilities or comforts of home or whatever, you know, you want to call it. But it's just amazing how we really don't think about it much. We don't give it much thought until all of a sudden, boom, it's not there. And then all of a sudden it's panic mode. Like, what am I going to do? Ed says, I'm okay. I'm glad you're okay, my friend. I'm glad you're good. And Tim, I hope you're doing well and the whole family is doing well. Everyone out in that way. I know my wife talked to my sister-in-law and they're doing okay. But there was, I know there was quite a bit of flooding down there. There was quite a bit of devastation, especially on the coast. Just awful. X86 says, call before you dig. I can't stand people that don't and take out your fiber. As you said, you come to rely on it and can't have multiple day outages. That's absolutely true. I that's what I do. If I'm going to dig for something or whatever, if I'm going to try to find that pot of gold around my house or or whatever. Usually I'm not looking for anything like that. I'm just trying to find out, trying to fix something. But, you know, if I'm out there digging in the, call first and have them come out and mark everything, you know, where you're going to dig. We did that when we had a sewer line that burst out here some years ago, and we had to call them out there to mark everything, you know, where the gas was, where the electric and the water and everything, to make sure that they didn't inadvertently hit something. I got a little story there. I'll tell you a little story. Okay, my neighbor here. Okay, some years ago, when AT&T was putting in their fiber line in our neighborhood. And we were kind of, we were surprised because we had no idea they were coming. Nobody gave us a heads up. Our HOA, which is supposed to be there for us, and we know because we pay them to be there for us, which tells you how useful I think the HOA actually is. But that's another rant for another time. But, so one day all these trucks show up at our house and in our street and everything and blocking everything, and they start digging and all this, and I'm like, what's going on? We have no idea. Nobody's told us anything. We got no letter, no card on the door. We got nothing. They just showed up and started digging up our yards. And so we're saying, well, what's going on? Oh, well, we're putting in fiber. Well, that's great, except for the fact, you know, I've been waiting for fiber to come to my neighborhood in some form. Supposedly Google was going to do it, and that didn't happen when it was supposed to happen. And AT&T comes in. I think the reason AT&T came in and did it was because Google was making a big deal about, yeah, we're coming to Charlotte, and we're just going to start digging fiber. So AT&T said, oh, man, our monopoly is being threatened. We better do something. So they got there first. So they're laying down the fiber, and they're digging everything up in our yards. And I went to work that day, and she calls me up and says, oh, well, they've had to, and she works from home. She had to stop what she was doing, and they had to pretty much lock down the neighborhood and evacuate some people because one of these contractors had inadvertently, when they were digging, hit a gas line. Ruptured a gas line, so they had to clear everybody out. Now, of course, they happened to do this in front of my neighbor, the two doors down. My neighbor, they did it in his yard. In order to fix that gas line, they had to dig up part of his driveway, and he was. I can tell you, he was not happy about that. And he made them come back, and the contractors, after they fixed everything, the lines and everything, and got their fiber in place, that he had to go in there and get them to come out and repair his driveway. They had to do that, and so that was not a lot of fun. But yeah, X86, you got to call before you dig. I mean, what you do can affect everybody, not just yourself, but the whole neighborhood. You know, you never know what you're going to do. Another funny story that's related to this is that now we're on the AT&T fiber, by the way. So finally, a couple of months ago, out of the blue, all these guys come back and they're digging up our street again. And I'm like, well, what's going on now? And nobody told us anything. Once again, we didn't get a letter. We didn't get any notification. The HOA didn't tell us anything. Nobody said boo to us about anybody in the neighborhood about what was going to happen. These guys just show up and they're blocking the roads. And once again, I'm trying to get out to go to work and you know, it's like trying to navigate through these guys. And like, what's going on? Come to find out, a day or two later, they're putting in Google Fiber. Google Fiber is finally coming to our neighborhood. Apparently, they haven't activated it yet, but they laid all the fiber down. The thing is that they went in without telling anybody, without warning them. They came in and tore up our yards again. And then this time, They laid the fiber down, and then we thought, okay, well, that's done. You know, they sealed up the streets and all that. 2 weeks later, they come out again, and they dug the whole thing up again because apparently when they laid the fiber the first time, this is what I've been told, they did it incorrectly. So they had to dig up our whole street again, pull out all the fiber that they laid down, and lay it down all over again and seal it up. And once again, nobody told us anything. They just came in and did it and left. So anyway, that's my world. All right. So anyway, glad you're okay, Ed, and I hope you're okay, Tim, you and the family, and everybody's doing well. That's my rant. I got a bunch of rants tonight, don't I? If this isn't AT&T or Google, it's Facebook. All right. So what else we got going on here? Studio photos. I'm going to show you some studio photos. Hey, you know, let's do that before I get on off in any other tangents. I've had folks ask me about what the studio's like and how what I've got here. Of course, obviously, what you see on camera, I've got this nice little studio set up. But it wasn't always that way, and it wasn't that simple. I've got a few pictures I can show you, if I can pull them up. By the way, we don't have a film tonight. I was going to show you guys Jim and Eric, the Super 8 film I made back in the day. Because of the hurricane and everything else related on. Yeah, I can blame it on the hurricane. Why not? It's all your fault, Ian. Partly is because we had to disrupt a day or so of us doing prep and things like that just in case, because everybody was telling us it was going to rip right up Charlotte right after it hit Florida, and so we did a little prep, but I did not get to prepare the Jim and Eric film to show tonight, so I'm hoping I can do it next week. So next week, hopefully, we'll have Jim and Eric to show, and at the end of the month, if I can make this happen, I'm going to show another classic Super 8 film that was done way back when, almost 40 years ago, called The Fan. This is it was supposed to be a horror film, but it turned out to be a comedy. Everything we made that was serious turned out to be a comedy. Comedy of errors. But it's a classic comedy called The Fan. And Ed, you probably remember The Fan. I know you've seen it years and years ago on Super 8. The Fan, I'm going to show that at the end of the month, last week in October. I'm having to work out a few things with the audio because there's some audio issues. Because the film was so old, the soundtrack, the magnetic soundtrack on the film had really it was not in great shape. I'm just put it that way. So I'm having to do some restoration on the audio so everybody can at least hear the lines on here very, very well. But Ed, I'm sure you appreciate it. You remember The Fan, right? With Jim and Eric, the two guys that are in the film, Jim and Eric. Well, actually, Jim wasn't in it. He shot it, but he wasn't in the film, in The Fan. But my only credit to that film was that I edited the post production on it, pretty much. I wasn't in it in this one, but I did the post production on that film. Anyway, where was I? All right. The studio photos. Here we go. So let me show you some studio photos. Now, this was, it didn't always look like this, as I have behind me here. At one point, it looked pretty much like this. We have our studio. I have a bonus room upstairs that I converted into a studio. Actually, not one studio, but two. There are two different parts of this. All you're seeing is about half of this area. The other half is where my work area is. As I mentioned before, I work from home part of the time. And I have, to the left of that door that's open, I have another area set up for shooting product, videos and product photography. Now, as you know, I work for bytwowayradios.com, and especially during the pandemic, I had to convert some of this area in my studio into to do the product videos for the two-way radios and things that we sell. And uh, I did a lot of my product photography there. So that was what some of this was. And this was an early, what I had was before I had another set built on this. And at some point I took down that set and redid part of the wood from that set into a riser. As you see down the bottom, there's a wood riser there. And put up a green screen for a while, and we were doing some green screen stuff. Then at some point, when I was going to start doing Drink with Rick, I converted that. I took out the green screen and did this. And this is what basically that area looks like. The riser's still there. I'm sitting right on the riser. It's a 6-inch riser. And then we built all this up around it. That was from season 2, I believe, of the wine stream. Season 2 or season 3. There's another angle of it. This is before we had everything set up. We were still constructing some of this. I was still in the middle of constructing this set. And I've got another angle of it here somewhere. Let's see. This is when it was just about finished. We were starting to shoot some of these things. And various angles of the set. This is kind of what it looks like. Now, this is what I work with sometimes. It's not what it looks like right now at this moment, but this is what it looks like certain times. Yes, I do have some equipment that I use. I use OBS to do the switching with. The live switching, and I have three cameras set up right now. Two of them are webcams, which I tried to switch out to a 4K camera, an actual 4K DSLR camera here, but I didn't like how it looked, and I want to try to replicate the look of the webcam as far as how much of the area was visible. So I put the webcam back on. I'm working on maybe replacing these cameras at the end of this season. I've got what I have there for the audio mixing, which I'm not using at the moment, actually. But I use it for when I'm doing a lot of podcasts. That is a Rodecaster Pro, and when we have I've got two computers actually under the desk. One is using for the live stream. The other one is what I use to monitor everything that's going on the live stream. Now I didn't mention I had a second studio. Here's the second studio. It is an audio booth basically, and that's where I've done a lot of my podcasts over the years. Most of the podcasts that I've recorded have been in this little sound booth. We have two mics. One of the podcasts we did that my son and I did was the Free Stuff Show. And that's why we had three mics in there, because we had two mics, one for each of us. It was just big enough for two people to get into. Almost like a sort of reminiscent of the Apollo 11 space capsule. trying to cram three guys in a little tiny capsule. But this is probably not much bigger than that. But I have a Zoom R24 there, and another computer in there, and then I have a compressor unit and some other stuff in there that for doing audio effects, doing audio compression and mixing and things like that. And that's what we had in that sound booth, and we still have the sound booth. It's there, it's still operational. Here's another angle of it with my son Tommy recording one of his podcasts. I think he was doing, I can't remember if he was doing a Q Command podcast or Nintendo Teens or something, and I can't remember what it was. Maybe he was doing a voice. Oh, I think in this one he might have been doing a voiceover or something. But we used it for recording voiceovers, things like that. But that is, and of course, this is pretty much what it looks like today, more or less what it looks like now. But that's an inside look at the studio on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And Ed says, love the sensible credits in it and done by. Oh, yeah. So, Ed, you remember the fan very well. How could we forget? Yes, in it and done by. Those were the credits in the fan. We're going to show the fan at the end of the month. Yadagami-sama is in the chat. It's great to see you, Yadagami-sama. I hope it was a few minutes before I checked the YouTube chats again. Yadagami says, hey, Rick, nice recording setup you got there. Well, thank you. Thank you. It's still a work in progress. I'm still doing things, and I'm making some other tweaks in here. And Tom Antio's in the chat. Great to see you, Tom Antio, as well. Tom Antio says, I remember that. Nintendo Teens in there. Yes, Nintendo Teens. Yeah, you did. You were recording Nintendo Teens mostly in that audio booth. I think when you got to Cube Command, we started doing the Cube Command podcast, you were doing that in Studio C, which is what we called Studio C. I was in his room. He was doing that in his room because he converted much of his bedroom into a podcast studio as well. And that's the thing about podcasting, you know? You can podcast almost from anywhere. And I think that, we'll go back here to just a minute. I'm doing all my own switching, folks. That's how low tech this is. I'm doing all my own switching. Okay. And my mouth is dry. I need some more wine. Once again, here's to International Podcast Day. Yeah, my son Tommy has been podcasting for over 12 years. He started podcasting in 2010 when he was 10 years old. He and his sister, Sim Cinder, did the Tia and Tommy show. That was their first foray into podcasting. The thing about Tommy is that he, most of that show, we initially started to script it. We'd have these little production sessions with the three of us deciding what we were going to do for that episode, each episode of the podcast. And it was all their own material. They did all their own material. I did write part of an open for the first one, just kind of get them into the groove. But it was really much their ideas and everything that they wanted to throw into it. And after that, it was all their stuff. The thing about Tommy is he ad-libbed a lot of his stuff. We'd go in there, and even though they'd have a format, sometimes they'd scripted some stuff. Sometimes they'd had an outline that they worked from, and most of it was pretty regimented as far as the production is concerned. But he'd get in there with his little stories and things like that, and he would just like sometimes just make them up on the fly. When they did the story time segment, and he would tell his stories, it was just whatever came out of his mouth at the moment. He'd just make up these stories, and they'd have a beginning and a middle and the end. And it was that point that I kind of realized, this kid has a knack for this sort of thing. So he took off, he just grabbed the microphone, never gave it back, basically. So, anyway, here's International Podcast Day once again. They had the 17th Annual People's Choice Podcast Awards. I want to give a shout out to Todd Cochran, by the way, for that. He's put a lot of work into that over the last 17 years, and most of his own money. And I know he's gotten some flack over the last 17 years. People saying, oh, he's, this and that and the other with these awards. But he has tried to do, he's done his best to try to keep these awards as fair and as above board as possible. And he has put a lot of his own money into it. I think they'd like barely broken even for a number of years. And it was more of a labor of love for him to do that. Still is. But the 17th annual People's Choice Podcast Awards were held yesterday, I believe, and yesterday evening. And congratulations to all the winners, by the way. I did not win. I didn't submit anything this year. I did not. I was too busy doing other things. I just got away from me. Usually I do it just... I generally submit things. Here's a confession here. I generally submit stuff to there not to really win anything, but because I believe in what Todd's doing and he's worked hard for it, and I want to support him and I want to support the awards. And so I've done it more as a formality just to, just to support them because, you get to pay the fees and all that sort of thing. It's just for the support. Although, surprisingly, I did enter a couple of years. It was 2019, I think, 2020. I submitted the Two-Way Radio Show podcast, which is the one that I do for my day job. That's the one I get paid for. So, yes, I'm a professional podcaster. That's my day job podcast. I did submit to that and entered it into the awards. And it got a lot of support. And we didn't win that year, but we got nominated. We got in the final round, nominated for a People's Choice Podcast Award in the tech category. And we were really, really excited about that. That was pretty cool. But and once again, we're coming up against lots of podcasts. There are like a million podcasts out there, literally. Over a million. I mean, 1.4 million. I don't know how many of them are active now, but like 1.4 million podcasts or so. When you think about even the ones that are active, the ones that submit, those are a lot of podcasts, and to be singled out and to be considered, in the final round for that is kind of something. Yeah, there's something to be said for that. So, we were nominated for People's Choice Podcast Award in the tech category for the Two-Way Radio Show podcast. I think it was 2019 or 2020. 2019, I think. I did not submit anything this year, but I'm thinking I'll probably submit something next year. It's just because this year got away from me. I was so busy with other things. I just kept forgetting. I think, I should probably enter it again and just see what happens. But I just forgot. And then the next thing I knew, the submissions, it was closed for submissions. So I'm like, well, next year, maybe next year. But anyway, once again, here's to the winners. Oh, by the way, congratulations to all the winners again. Let me put that back in up where it should be. All right, fireworks. There we go. Congratulations to all the winners of the People's Choice Podcast Awards this year for 2022. All right. So what do we got left? I think is it getting late? It's getting late, isn't it? I got to give you a final review of the wine. I was going to rant about Facebook. I don't know. Is this a Facebook rant? What can I say? Here's the deal. Why we were 15 minutes late for getting online for Facebook. It was caused by Facebook this time around. And what happened was, as some of you may be aware of, I just did that because I wanted to. I took that, by the way. That was back in those, where was that taken? It was back in the 2015, 2016 or so. It was Biltmore Estates. That's a view from Biltmore Estates. In Asheville, North Carolina. Anyway, so tonight I was doing my show prep for tonight, and Yeah, right. Anyway, I was doing the show prep, and I was about to start streaming, and I said, wait a minute, I'm not set up on Facebook yet. Set up everywhere else except Facebook. So I said, oh, let me get set up on Facebook. This should only take a minute, right? Yeah, little do I know, Facebook changed something. And now, for those of you who are not aware, the last couple months, there's been a kind of an issue with Facebook where Facebook will stream my stuff. They'll stream the wine stream. And I've been embedding the live streams for the wine stream on my website because it's just been convenient to do. I just pop it, the code in there and put it up, and it's right there. What Facebook has been doing after the stream is over, they've been going back and saying, hey, you've got content here. You have content here that we may not have licensing for in certain countries. And they're referring mostly to the music. And the music track that I use, of course, is actually licensed to me. Okay. Music by Kevin MacLeod. It's the name of the piece. It's called Sweeter Vermouth by Kevin MacLeod. And I've bought a number of pieces from Kevin in the past. He's a very good musician and composer. And I like his stuff. And I like this song that seemed to fit the theme for Drink with Rick perfectly. So I purchased the license from him for it. So I am licensed to play that music that you hear at the beginning and at the end of every episode of the Saturday Night Wine Stream. Well, it seems that Facebook doesn't like this too much. And they think that, well, you may have a license for it, but we don't care. We're going to censor it. We don't have a license for it in certain countries. So we are not going to, we're going to mute it. So I've been fighting them with them over this, and all they do is they send me these automated responses that are just basically regurgitating up, you know, their standard, you know, terms and that sort of thing for copyright music. So I'm getting a little frustrated with this. So after what they've been doing is they've been blocking the embed. So I've been embedding this, and when the show is live, it's fine. After the show is done, they block the embed. So when you go to the website, you don't see the show anymore. You just see this black screen with a warning saying, we may not have the rights to show this. You don't need the rights to show it. I've got the license. I have the right to show it. Show it. They don't see it that way, apparently. So what happened tonight, now up until this time, I've been able to work around it because what I would do is when the show's streaming, I use the Facebook embed during the stream. After the stream is done, then I go back to my post on the Drink with Rick site, drinkwithrick.com, and I replace their embed, which is no longer working at that point, with YouTube, with a YouTube embed, which does work because YouTube doesn't seem to have a problem with it. They seem to recognize, oh, you're licensed to have this music. Okay, that's fine. It's all good. No problem. Tonight, when I went to embed this on my stream, YouTube had the embed grayed out, saying that, well, you have to make this public to do the embed. Well, I went and checked, and they had changed my Facebook feed to friends only and not public. So I went through and I tried to change it, but they wouldn't ungray the option to do the embed. So I couldn't embed the stream on my site. So that was why I was late, because I was wrestling around with this, trying to work around, trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here? I went back to my settings, made everything public in the settings, and no matter what I did, even though it was showing up public, they left that embed grayed out. They would not let me embed the show. So at this point, it's like 15 minutes before the show is supposed to, well, 15 minutes after the show is supposed to start, and I'm still grappling with this issue. And, you know, at that point, I just said, you know what? Forget about it. I'm just going to have to do something else. So I embedded the Odyssey one at first. The Odyssey one didn't seem to work. So I went and embedded really quick, like while the countdown's going for the show, the countdown timer is going, I'm like at the last minute really trying to beat the clock, literally, and embed the YouTube one onto my site so it pops up. Just barely made it before, when the music was starting. I was still doing this when the music was going. So I just barely was able to get that done and hit the switch and go, hey, welcome to tonight's Saturday Night Wine Stream. These are things you don't see when you're waiting for the show to start. Last minute stuff. Now, normally it's not a problem. Normally I'm here and I'm like, okay, I've got everything set up where I have to set it up. I've shared it everywhere I'm going to share it and all that sort of thing for tonight. Doing all my social media related stuff and the distribution stuff. Because there's a lot of work that goes into this. I mean, it's not like I just turn on the camera and I start talking. There's a lot of prep that goes into it, and there's a lot of last minute things that have to be done. So I'm down here the last second getting this done, and normally it's not a problem. Once again, normally everything is pretty much, I have everything set up for the next week's stream, and all I have to do is go boom, 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 this. And I still have, when that countdown clock is going, I have like 2 to 3 minutes where I'm sitting there right along with you waiting for the clock, the countdown to hit zero so I can go boom. And welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. And tonight I couldn't, that's not what happened. It's like, yeah, it was a little bit stressful. So if you saw a little sweat on my forehead when I started the stream tonight, that's what happened. You don't see the stuff on the back end. But because you are part of the show, you're part of the show, I felt I needed to share this with you. So you know what's going on, what's really happening. So when you're thinking, when you're watching the clock down, timer going, the countdown clock. You know more or less that I'm not just sitting here twiddling my thumbs waiting for things to start and that it's just a countdown clock just for my benefit. Well, it is for my benefit. I'm really trying to go, whoa, 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 whoa. I got 2 seconds. Go live. That's what's happening here. That's how I roll. Now, if I had a producer... Hint, hint. If I had a producer to do all this for me, all I would have to do is go into makeup, sit down, sit in front of the camera, and just wait for my cue. Oh, you're on. Okay. But it doesn't work that way. I'm a one-man band here. So that's how it works on the Saturday Night Wine Stream on Drink with Rick. Anyway, so I've overstayed my welcome with you tonight, I'm pretty sure. Tom Antio says, Studio C for Cube Command, LOL. Okay, so the Studio C on his room doesn't stand for a studio, like this is Studio A, the little audio booth is Studio B, his room Studio C. It's Studio C for Cube Command. Got it. As it should be. All right, so it's time to do the final. Everybody's quiet here. Okay, it's time for the final review. This is what we've been drinking. We've been drinking the Barkan Classic Pinot Noir. It's a 2020. This is a wine from Israel, from Galilee. And I'll tell you what, I think this is a fabulous wine. This is what it is. It's at 11.5% alcohol by volume. I like it. It's and that's also an indication that when you see an alcohol volume, an ABV that low, it usually is a pretty good indication that this wine was organically grown and vented. Not always the case, but a good part of the time. It says it contains sulfites, but does not say
if I'm looking at the back here, does not say anywhere. No, it doesn't. It does not say contains, that I can see anywhere. It just says contains sulfites. And mavushal, whatever that means. It does not say contains added sulfites, which it is does not. Usually they will add sulfites, and that will raise the alcohol content in the wine. So that's why you'll get some wines with 13.5%, 14.5%, 15% alcohol. And that's some of those wines. Now, I've had some really good wines that were high in alcohol content, but a good deal of the time I've had wines that the alcohol content is really high in there. And of course, as I've said many times before, just because it says 14.5% alcohol by volume on the label doesn't mean that's what it is. And it's usually considerably higher than that. And Americans like a high alcohol content in their wines. Not so much me, also being American, but a lot of Americans do. So this wine, when it has an alcohol content that's that high, when I'm tasting it, sometimes I'm tasting more alcohol than what I really would like to be tasting, which is the nuances in the flavors. And the flavors get lost because the alcohol is so high. I can taste the alcohol. So this is refreshing on several levels. It's actually a refreshing wine, but it's also refreshing the fact that the alcohol content is so low. In fact, I think this is one of the lowest, aside from some of the wines that Chi buys, that she likes a really low alcohol content wine. This is some of the lowest in a red wine. This is a dry red. This is the lowest, I think, of any Pinot Noir or just about any other red wine that I've had the entire time we've been doing this show, 11.5%. Usually doesn't go much lower than 12 and a half. So this is refreshing in that sense as well. I really like this wine. I'm getting strawberry in it, a lot of strawberry, strawberry in the nose, strawberry and plum on the mouth. Has a nice mouthfeel, light tannins. The tannins are there, but is fairly light and very smooth. And it has a very light finish. This is a light body. This says medium bodied, and it says so, I think, on the label too. It looks medium bodied. It tastes light bodied. And it goes down light. There is a finish to it, but the finish is also very light. It's very smooth. Went very well with everything that we had here. It went very well with the now what I'm sure is very cold. the steak here and the cheese, both the cheese, that's the Parmesan, that's the unexpected cheddar with Parm, and this is the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. Went really well with the cookie too, by the way, and the drink with Rick Boat. It went really well with all of that, and I was really impressed with this wine. I like this wine, and I would try it again. I would do it again. I'd buy another bottle. $12.99 at Total Wine, the Total Wine in my neighborhood. It might be a little higher in yours or a little bit less. I don't know, but it's very good wine. I like it, and I will. I'll probably buy another bottle or two of this. It's very good. And I have to say, this is probably my new favorite Pinot Noir. I would say that. It's my new favorite Pinot Noir. I really do like it a lot. And that's my final review. Okay, so here is the last. That was the review. Here's the end of the show, and I've got one more item to show you. I'm sure you're all happy to hear that. Okay, I have someone else to bring out, and it's time to bring him out now. By the way, before I bring him out, let me say I want to thank everybody who joined me in the chat tonight. I want to thank my good friend Tim for being here, And I hope you're doing well down there, and I hope you and your family continue to have great success, and your daughters especially, really impressed with what they're doing, really impressed with it. They have really good careers ahead of them for what they're doing. And Canyon Couture, by the way, if you haven't, I'm going to share that link just for a moment. Give me just a second here. I'm going to share that link across everywhere. Yadagami says, tonight my fiance and I are trying a white wine, Stella Rosa Pinot Grigio. It's not bad, just a bit too sour for our taste. Maybe you'll like it since you've mentioned you don't like sweet wines. Now, Yadagami, he's cool. I like Yadagami. He's made some good recommendations in the past as well. And I like what he's brought about. I'm sharing this link to Canyon Couture, by the way, across all the platforms. All the platforms. Okay. This is a sanctioned link share for Canyon Couture. Thank you, Tim. And you've got it all across the web there. Okay, so Yadagami. This is going to go long tonight, aren't we? It's okay. All right, your fiancé and you are drinking a white wine, Stella Rosa Pinot Grigio. Remember earlier in the stream where I mentioned that my wife likes alcohol with lower content, and she will buy some wines with lower alcohol content. Those are the wines she's buying. She's buying Stella Rosa. She really likes the Stella Rosa wines. Now, the Stella Rosa wines, I have not tried the Pinot Grigio, but they have a lot of other flavored wines that I like from Stella Rosa. And they've got a really nice blackberry wine. Have you tried that? Have you tried the blackberry one? And we have reviewed a Stella Rosa wine here. Let's see, which one was it? I don't recall right offhand. Let me see if I can pull it up on the website real quick. I know it's running long, but hey, you know what? I'm having a great time, and I'm having a tough time shutting this down tonight. Let me see something here. Stella Rosa. I'm doing a quick search in my key. Oh, yeah. Episode 111 is when we did it. Now, it popped up right away. See, my website, I have a great website for this because you can look up, you can type in the wine, and it'll just pull it right up. Drink with Rick, episode 111. Stella Rosa Black. That was the one we tried, was the Stella Rosa Black that we tasted. And we got that one at Sam's Club. And I liked the wine. It was good. Now, it's Stella Rosa wines a little bit, sometimes they can be a little dry, but sometimes they can be a little sweet on the sweet side. I like them. I mean, it's not my first go-to for a wine because I prefer my personal preferences for the dry reds, but I'm not adverse to them. I like the wines. They're fine. And I have not tried the Pinot Grigio. And you're saying it's a bit too sour for your taste. They can be. They can be a little bit. It depends. Sometimes they're a little on the sweet side, and I have tried the Grigio, but I have tried a couple of Stella Rosas where they were a little bit more like the apple. They have an apple. They have a I think it's green apple or something. I can't remember what the some kind of apple. But we've tried that, and that's a little bit sour for me. I'll agree with you on that. But a lot of the Stella Rosa wines, they're kind of a little on the, I want to say the sparkly side, a little bit maybe almost a couple of the wines are slightly, I don't want to say carbonated, but they kind of have that carbonated feel to them. They're kind of sparkly. Those are the kind of wines you have to drink like right then and there. You have to drink them. Because if you put them in the fridge, like that's what my wife does, what she does. And the kids like them too. Now, Chi and the kids really prefer those wines over some of these. One, because I think of what you mentioned before, they're not like really sweet. I wouldn't say they're semi-sweet. They're a little bit on the sweeter side, but they are more palatable to my wife and kids than these dry reds for me. They don't really care for those too much. So when we're at the dinner table, and we didn't have it tonight, but we're at the dinner table, we're having a nice steak or pasta or something like that, we'll get out the Stella Rosa wine so that I will drink my red, whatever it is, and then they will open up the Stella Rosa. And we've had a lot of the different Stella Rosa wines. They're pretty decent, but I'll have to say that it's not my first choice for those wines, just because it's a personal preference, nothing against the wine. But they do like them quite a bit. What I was getting at was that the Stella Rosa wines are the kind of wines you have to drink right then and there. Because if you put them in the fridge, they might last a day or two in the fridge if you cap them really tightly, because they're on screw caps. If you cap them tightly, they'll last in the fridge for a little while. But if you leave them in the fridge for more than a couple of days, they lose their... they're not carbonated, so to speak, but they kind of lose their sparkliness to them. You know what I'm saying? They go flat. So the wines go really flat. And then they don't taste very good after a day or two in the fridge. So I would say if you're going to have a Stella Rosa wine, drink the whole, don't drink the whole thing by yourself. It's not too bad because most of the Stella Rosa wines are very low in alcohol. As Yanagami was saying, these are pretty decent wines, but they're very low in alcohol. They're about 8, usually the average about 8.5%. I don't think I've seen one that was more than 10% ABV. Maybe 10.5% ABV. But usually about 10% ABV around that area, or 9%. So the pretty low alcohol. It's almost like drinking a cider, as you know, Yadagami. It's almost like in X86 as well. It's almost like drinking cider, which the ciders are more like they're 8.5-9% ABV, that kind of thing. That's kind of like what the Stella Rosa wines are more like. And I'm really saying this because I know, Yanagami, you probably know because you've had the Stella Rosa wines and you have one tonight. But for those of you who are not that familiar with Stella Rosa wines, and you go back and look at my review on episode 111. Anyway, but I'm glad you brought that up. I appreciate that. Okay, X86 says, great show, Rick. I'm going to be sure to try tonight's wine. It seems like my kind of red. Thanks for another great show and have a great week. And also you too, X86. Thank you for being here. It's much, much appreciated. I want to thank once again. Kenya Couture has a nice Facebook page. Go check it out, please. Go check it out. I really like the photos on here, and it's really well put together. I think they have Tim, I think your daughters have a great handle on the marketing aspect of all this. I really think they do. So I want to thank my good friend Tim and my good friend Ed. Thank you for being in here tonight. And I want to thank everybody who joined me on YouTube, Yadagami-sama and Chi, and everyone who is watching me on YouTube tonight. I appreciate you being here. And Twitch, everyone on Twitch, X86, and, let's see, Tom Antio, and Banana Dude 18, and everybody's watching now who is not in the chat but watching. It's okay. It's all good. And everybody who's following me on Twitter tonight, I did not see all the tweets, but I really appreciate you being here watching and on Odyssey. Odyssey, thank you. Those who are watching on Odyssey, thank you very much. Appreciate it. I appreciate each and every one of you. You mean a lot to me. And just the fact that you're here with me tonight, spending some time on your Saturday night drinking with Rick, it's just, it's really humbling. It really is. I don't take that for granted at all. Next week, I'm going to try to have the Jim and Eric film ready. Try to have other things ready here. Have a really nice show for next week. In the meantime, I don't know which wine we're going to do. Oh, I have an idea. I have one idea. My sister Penny had a recommendation for a wine. And Penny, if you're watching now or later, I'm still looking for that wine. I'm still looking for it. But she texted me a recommendation. She says, review this wine. Review it. So apparently it's one she and Tom really like. So I'm still looking for it. If I can find it in the next week, maybe I can review it for next week. We'll see. In the meantime, there is one more celebrity I want to bring out, and I'm going to bring him out right now, and it is none other than Roadkill Bill. Yes, Roadkill Bill. Bill is the official mascot of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and he is the official mascot for a specific reason. His message to everyone is, please do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your office, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, whatever it is. If you have to go somewhere, it's best to stay put. But if you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a cab, call a friend, take the bus. Just better to stay put. But do not drink and drive. Okay? Do not text and drive either, because that's also very dangerous. Distracted driving is just as bad as drunk driving. Please don't drink and drive. Because I want you to have a great week. I want you to have a fantastic week. But most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.